Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and all this membership drive, at the end of each show, we've been doing 10-minute explainers. Yesterday, we explained how a Trump golf course ended up in the Bronx. On Wednesday, we did a 10-minute explainer on the measles vaccine. Well, today, we're explaining the drug ketamine. This week, as you may have heard, the Food and Drug Administration approved a variant of the anesthetic, sometimes known as a party drug. People call it Special K. Have you heard of that? But this time for the treatment of stubborn and otherwise treatment-resistant depression. So with me now to explain the history of Special K and risks and rewards of taking it out of the club and into the doctor's office is Tom Schroeder, former editor of the Washington Post magazine, and author of the book Acid Test, LSD, Ecstasy, and the Power to Heal. Thanks for being a guest explainer and being really explainy, Tom. Welcome to WNYC.
Thanks, Brian.
Can you explain quite simply what is ketamine?
Well, ketamine is a dissociative psychedelic. That means that one of its effects is to almost eliminate the normal sort of process of ego so that people do not feel necessarily connected to their bodies and in the usual way. And that's why it was effective as an anesthetic. It was so complete that surgery could be done and people would not feel associated with the surgery. But they also discovered that in severe depressive patients, that for reasons that they're still trying to figure out, patients that were not having any success with any other treatment for severe and life-threatening depression would almost instantly improve after experiencing ketamine, and that improvement would last at least for several weeks.
Did you say they don't know why there's no biological mechanism that you could explain why that would work?
Yes. Well, they're studying that now. And there are a few theories, and they're all very complicated theories involving brain and neuron chemistry. It's interesting because there are other psychedelics that are also being experimented with for treatment of depression, including psilocybin, LSD, and MDMA, which is ecstasy. And very often, the thought with those drugs is that it's the experience itself that helps people deal with their depression, the insights that are given by the experience. That does not seem to be the case on first glance with ketamine, however.
I see that the FDA approval requires that doses be taken in a doctor's office or clinic with patients monitored for at least 2 hours and their experiences entered in a registry. Can you explain the logic behind those conditions?
Well, I think that there are with ketamine and with all psychedelics, there are dangers, both psychological and physiological, that disappear almost entirely under medical monitoring. So I think that the idea is that they don't want people going out and self-administering this drug because then the dangers might outweigh the advantages.
So how do we know that the palliative properties of the drug are not just short-acting euphoria like might be associated with a hallucinogen? Is there reason that scientists believe ketamine can treat the underlying causes or have a longer-term effect on depression?
Well, I've done studies where they have done serial administrations of ketamine, and the effects do tend to wear off, but they last longer and longer with these serial effects, and they're still investigating that. I want to say, though, that with some of the other psychedelics, like with psilocybin, sometimes just a few sessions with psilocybin will have really long-lasting effects on things like depression. And they've used it to study depression in people who have terminal cancer, for instance. And those results tend to last for a very long time, and they tend to be related to the underlying causes being dealt with rather than just some kind of tweak of the neurons.
Can you explain why a drug like this has a reputation as a party drug, a club drug? I tend to think of the hallucinogens as more heady, you know, and people think about their lives and things like that, not necessarily going to a club and dancing.
Hey, you've got me. I'm with you on this. I've always thought of this as an experience that was very sort of sober, to use an interesting term. Something where you see your life in a novel perspective that allows you to change the way you behave. So no, I have never understood why people use this to party with, but lots of people do. So obviously some people find that to be something that stimulates. I think it's probably the sense of togetherness that you can get from doing these drugs, where you're connecting with other people in a way that you wouldn't ordinarily connect. That might be part of it.
And what about the contradiction? It seems like a contradiction of ketamine being used both as a sedative, like in anesthesia, as you were describing, and a party drug that keeps you going and dancing. Can you explain how it could be both of those things?
Well, I don't think it's ever used as a sedative. It's a dissociative, which is very different.
It's a different kind of anesthetic.
Yes, it's not that it shuts down your brain. It's that it stimulates your brain in a way that allows you to separate your body from your mind. So things can be going on with your body that you won't relate to as you normally would. I think that the psychedelic effects are very complex and very interesting. Basically, it just changes the way your mind communicates within itself. And I think that sort of difference from your normal sort of controlled and filtered reality is why people find the psychedelic experience so interesting, because suddenly, you're not reducing reality to a practical and, sort of business-like process, which is what, you know, we normally experience the world as. Instead, you're seeing it in all its weirdness, and I think that people find that diverting.
Weird for me as an thought of it as an anesthesia, given what you just said, like somebody's doing minor surgery on you and maybe you're going to freak out at that moment and have a bad trip.
Well, I don't think you'd want to use psilocybin or LSD as an anesthesia.
Right.
So it is a very particular property of ketamine, I think.
Can you explain why critics say the drug trials that led the FDA to approve it this week were not extensive enough?
Well, I think that people are always going to say that about anything involving psychedelics as a therapeutic tool. They have gotten a bad reputation over years of being used as a party drug, and people are, you know, have sort of a fear that that they're going to like take over our minds or something. But in fact, the clinical testing that they've done for psychedelics over the last 20 years has been extremely careful and meets all the standards of medical research, and it has shown consistently very impressive results with very few problems associated with them.
The commissioner of the Food and Drug Administration unexpectedly resigned without much explanation this week, within a day of ketamine's approval. Is there any reason to suspect that conflict over the approval on one side or another led him to leave?
Nothing that I know of, no.
Yeah. And is it addictive? Can you overdose?
Well, I mean, you can overdose on anything, including water. But the addictiveness of psychedelic drugs is very low on the scale of addiction. The way, you know, they have a really interesting process by which they assess it.
And we have 10 seconds.
Oh, okay. Well, no, it's not. It is very low on the addictive scale.
Turning it appropriately into a yes or no question, since we're out of time, with Tom Schroeder, former editor of The Washington Post magazine and author of Acid Test, LSD, Ecstasy, and the Power to Heal. Thank you so, so much.
My pleasure.
And that ends our winter membership drive series of 10-Minute Explainers here on The Brian Lehrer Show.